Welcome to Tuesday morning. Kickoff to Ag in Motion today. Evan Bray, good to have you with us. We are not on location today, but this is a three-day Ag in Motion show just outside the city of Saskatoon, the community of Langham, Saskatchewan, and the weather is great. So today in studio here, but tomorrow and Thursday live on location. In fact, we're at booth 492, which is the Federated Co-op Farm Pavilion booth. We would encourage you to stop by if you happen to be coming to Ag in Motion Wednesday or Thursday. Love to have you pop by. It's beautiful weather for the week of Ag in Motion. Well, we've got lots to talk about today. We're going to talk more about this fatal traffic collision that took the lives of two Regina men over the weekend. We've got a traffic reconstructionist joining us momentarily to talk about what the investigation process looks like in a case like this. Also, Trump shouted out some new tariffs for Canada yesterday. How we react seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems a lot different than we did in February of 2025. We're bringing in Ralco business commentator Paul Martin to the show at 9 o'clock, and then we open the phone lines to hear your thoughts on what strategy Canada should follow on this latest threat of tariffs from the United States. Also on the program today, we'll talk AI with USASC's Professor Devin Meskel. We've got former inmate Cody Ptolemy joining us to talk about life inside of a jail. We had Cody on the show before talking about the con code. And from that, lots of comments, people saying, love to hear him back again. Fascinating to hear his perspective of what it's like to be in jail, whether it's a provincial or federal institution. And so we'll talk with him about that later on the show. Also today, a Saskatoon man who fed up with traffic congestion threatening pedestrians in his neighborhood painted a crosswalk on an intersection to try and enhance safety in his neighborhood. The city came out and removed it, but there was a lot of positive impact from that. We'll talk with him a little bit later. Oh, and by the way, we moved Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. Normally it's on Wednesdays, but tomorrow we are live on location at Ag in Motion. So today you have a chance to prove just how smart you are, Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, coming up at 10:30 on the program. Let's get started. Here is today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, of course, we have been following very closely the details of this major collision that took place on Saturday night just outside of Lumsden, the result of a two-vehicle collision, two losses of life. We know that Jaden Dahlke, who is, of course, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, many people know Jaden from that, also dying in this crash, a 22-year-old by the name of Bhishma Rajaguru from Regina. So two men are dead. The RCMP releasing information about this yesterday late in the morning. We learned information that it was the vehicle being driven by Jaden Dahlke that was going the wrong way on the highway. So essentially, that's what caused the collision. At the scene, officers located some alcohol and cannabis in his vehicle. And we later learned that there was an allegation of a failed to pay for gas by a silver SUV, which matched the description of the one driven by Jaden Dahlke that happened about a half an hour prior to the accident, the collision that took place. When a collision like this, of this magnitude, happens, police will bring in trained investigators. They have different levels of accident reconstruction and investigation, all the way up to a level 4. Regina Police Service, although they will not be doing this investigation, it is being done and handled by the RCMP. They have their own unit, the Investigative Collision Analysis and Reconstruction Team. Sergeant Tanner Maurice is in charge of that unit. And I wanted to bring Tanner onto the program today so we could talk a little bit about what an investigation like this would look like. Tanner Maurice, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Good morning, Evan, of course.
So you've been dispatched to and taken lots of tragic fatal car accidents in your time. What are the considerations for you as an investigator and your team when you're approaching a collision scene like this? What are you looking for?
Right. So, I mean, the very first thing is we do obviously deal with tragedies, but in the moment, we just kind of have to set that aside and we take a very scientific approach to investigating the collision. So as concisely as I can describe it, you know, without sounding dramatic, the first thing I want to do is get on scene and let the scene and the evidence speak to me. I really don't know any other reconstructionists who prefer to kind of even speak with an on-scene officer or witnesses without themselves getting to walk through that scene first.
Right. So when you arrive on that scene, Sergeant Maurice, there will be a lot of things happening because you will not be the emergency response team. You are called out after the fact. So there will already have been people that paid attention to the victims in the accident, for example, those types of things. So you will have a brief conversation with officers on scene, or will you go right away to start assessing the evidence?
Actually, I really do prefer to just look at the scene first, and then I'll check in with the officers that are on scene, just kind of trying to get an idea of what happened before any other preconceived notions enter my mind.
Mm-hmm. I know many people will talk about the challenges of investigating a crime scene or an accident scene, a collision scene like this, when it's happening in darkness, because some of the evidence, the roadway evidence, will disappear, will lighten, will change over time. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, things like skid marks, they can disappear, but they'll stay on scene for a little while. And obviously, that's why we use 3D laser scanners, we use drones, we use people who are very well trained in photography, so that we can kind of digitally revisit that scene and check it out in different lighting as well.
So when you arrive on scene, can we talk a bit about all of the different pieces of evidence that you would be assessing, you would be looking at, you would be taking note of?
Yeah, of course. I mean, every scene is going to be different, but at the end of the day, we have objects that have collided, whether that's, two vehicles or a vehicle and something else, a vehicle and a pedestrian. And so, let's say it's a two-vehicle collision. I'm going to be looking at the damage profiles of the vehicle. That's going to help maybe give me an idea of what the inward angles were and the departure angles when they left the moment of impact. I'm looking at tire marks on the ground, metal gouges. There's a lot of metal components on vehicles and those metal components don't typically touch the ground. But in a collision, just due to the forces and gravity, a lot of those will gouge into the roadway. And so that can be very useful to us as well. We're looking at all sorts of sight lines and angles, because ultimately when we do reconstruct these collision scenes, we have to be able to kind of answer the question, like, could this have been avoided? When could these, two parties have possibly even seen each other? Or if they could have at all. So there's a lot that goes into it, and that's why there's such lengthy investigations.
Is it possible that there are no skid marks in some collisions that you investigate?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. We kind of break it down into pre-collision evidence, and then kind of the area of impact or the moment of impact, and then post-collision. And so oftentimes, depending again on the very dynamic nature of these things, sometimes there is no pre-collision evidence. The first piece of evidence we see is where these two objects collided.
And so if there's no pre-collision evidence, so that would mean no skid marks. Does that mean that it's possible? I guess, what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is going to tell me that, maybe either of these parties didn't perceive a threat. Certainly, when you see a skid mark leading up to a collision, you can usually infer that, it was an avoidance type of maneuver. And so that that even allows us then to kind of figure out how far back in time and talking speed, how far back somebody noticed an imminent threat.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't see any, scrub marks from steering, swerving, any braking, it typically, again, very general, lends us to believe that, these parties didn't perceive each other as a threat,
Sergeant,
or didn't comprehend the threat.
Sergeant Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's the Regina Police Service officer in charge of the Investigative Collision Analysis and Reconstruction Team. Now, I want to make it clear again, the Regina Police Service is not involved in investigating this collision, this double fatal collision that happened on Saturday night, but Sergeant Maurice giving us a bit of an understanding of what goes into this type of investigation. I talked a bit yesterday on the show about the importance of debris. Can you talk a bit about that, Sergeant Maurice, if there's a piece of a vehicle, a taillight or something that is a distance away from the vehicle, how important is that evidence?
Depending on what it is, we can start to gather speed, but really a lot of directionality as well. You know, which way vehicles were going, the angle at which they collided can help, help us determine, you know, maybe who's at fault or who is coming from where. Because everything that flies off a vehicle, it has to adhere to the laws of physics. So we are able to kind of work backwards through some of those items. I mean, they're not the smoking gun that maybe some TV shows would have you believe, but certainly they are useful to us.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about electronics in a vehicle? Do modern vehicles have something in them that helps investigations?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the important thing to recognize is that any vehicle in Canada after 2012, I believe it is, will have what people typically refer to as a black box. But the thing is that's not designed for police investigations. It's an automotive tool designed for diagnosing vehicles. But we are able to access that information and quite honestly glean a lot of information from there. So we will get things like, you know, the speed of each individual wheel. So if one wheel is traveling much faster than the other, that's an indication that perhaps it's off the ground and no longer in contact with the ground, or at very least it's, you know, slipping, meaning it could be hard acceleration to one of the wheels. You know, we get steering angle input, we get braking, all types of information that can be matched up with roadway evidence that helps actually, you know, I've worked a couple cases, Evan, where I've literally been able to break down a collision scene in tenths of a second and tell you what inputs were going into the vehicle and what that vehicle was doing on scene.
Sergeant Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's with the Regina Police Service, not investigating this accident, but Tanner's in charge of the Investigative Collision Analysis and Reconstruction Team with the Regina Police Service, giving us some insight into the level of investigation. Can you talk about eyewitness statements that might have been given? At what point do you as an investigator look at those, or do you look at those during the course of the investigation?
Yeah, so we certainly do, but I can tell you that for collision reconstructionists, that comes quite a bit later. Eyewitness testimony is, it is valuable to us, and we do appreciate when people stick around or provide their information. But generally, what we have to do is kind of take multiple different accounts from witnesses and look for the things that are similar and corroborate things. One account, or every, I guess, individual account, is bound to have a couple things that maybe didn't quite happen as somebody perceived or remembered. So it is useful, but it's later on in the investigation, and it's only used to corroborate what our math and our physics will already have shown us.
When you're working on a collision scene, Sergeant Maurice, are you trying to determine who's at fault, or are you trying to determine what happened?
Yeah, it'd be way more appropriate to say that we're simply trying to determine what happened. We know that some objects have come together. Certainly, you know, we are taking into consideration the laws of the roadway, the Traffic Safety Act, and also, you know, I guess criminal elements, you know, such as dangerous driving. But first and foremost, it's really just what happened. And then we look at all parties, even let's say the party that isn't quote unquote at fault. We do a time distance analysis, a collision avoidance analysis. Could they have actually done something to avoid the collision as well? Did they perceive this imminent threat?
Right. We're talking today with Sergeant Tanner Maurice. Before I let you go, I know you're not involved in this collision. We know in this collision, two people died, the drivers of both vehicles. In that type of situation, and you've done many of these types of investigations, how much responsibility do you feel to get the details right when essentially there are no survivors of the crash to help provide some answers?
Evan, it's absolutely paramount. And it really is what drives my passion for doing this. And I think I'm speaking for all collision investigators, trying to find out what happened so that we can tell the families of these, you know, these individuals who've lost their lives exactly what went down, if it is something that's going to be useful for them, that's important to us. Knowing that someone has taken care to kind of piece together someone's last moments can be very cathartic for people. Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Maurice, I've appreciated this check-in today. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your expertise.
Thanks, Evan.